Good morning.
Happy Feast of Saint Charbel.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I pray for him every day. He's one of my favorite saints. I discovered him. I had a mass on his tomb when I was in Lebanon. He's one of the saints that my grandfather told me about when I was a little boy. He was very popular in Lebanon.
It's also the feast of Saint Christina the Astonishing.
I don't know her.
1200s. She lived, and then she died. And they are having her mass, and she popped up in the casket and then promptly elevated all the way to the rafters of the cathedral, which kind of freaked everybody out. So they all left, and they all ran out of the church. And then she went out in the woods, and she was there for many years running around. But she would tell the tale of how when she had died, she would visit the souls in purgatory, or she had seen the souls in purgatory. And so when she came back, that was her big thing, was praying for
She's a 13th century saint.
Yep. Yes. So,
you know, Our Lady took the children to see the souls in purgatory at Fatima.
Mm-hmm.
It was great.
Yeah. Yeah, so quite a mystical day, I think. But aren't they all?
Well, my experience was when I was in Lebanon, I was told that they were kidnapping and killing Europeans and North Americans. Father Cluthers had been killed. He was from Holland. They wanted to really get rid of all Westerners. One of our newspaper men, Terry Anderson, had been kidnapped. One of the priests that went over with me, he and I went over together. Father, he was a priest from Joliet, Illinois. Father Larry Jenko was kidnapped and eventually returned. But there was all kinds of things so that that my superiors knew that it would be just be a matter of time that I would be picked up. And so I got word that I was to leave through one of the cardinals in Rome, that the Holy Father wanted all Westerners out of Beirut. And I got the word that I had 24 hours to leave Beirut, but I had some things that I really wanted to do, so I stayed there longer. And I was very high visibility. And so I was on the television, and it was Holy Week. And they were having an election of the Patriarch Sverre was then elected patriarch. There had been a patriarch who resigned, Patriarch Reisch, somewhat like what happened when, in Lebanon, the highest person there in the church, it's the largest group of Christians in Lebanon. And so, like, the patriarch is like, he's like in their status, like the Pope. And so when Patriarch Reisch resigned, they had to get a new patriarch. And all the people, because most of the Lebanese are Maronites. There are Melkites, and there are Syriac Christians, Coptic Christians, and Armenian Christians. But the largest group, and Latin Rite Christians, but the largest group of Christians in Lebanon are Maronites. And so everyone was abuzz. Who's going to be the patriarch? Who's going to be the patriarch? And I was hearing this all over the place, because the patriarch is going to help us in this terrible time, and that we don't have a patriarch. So there was the bishops were gathering in the Patriarchate, which was in Bakirki in Lebanon, outside of Beirut. And I was on television. And I was having a mass for about 1,000 Maronite Christians. Because of the war, there were many, many refugees who were Christians. And so I was having mass for them in this particular place. And it was being televised. And so I said to them, who was the patriarch during the time of Saint Charbel? And no one could answer that. And there had to be at least 1,000 Maronites there. And I said, you know, what's most important is to be a saint. The patriarch is good, and he's a very important person, but much more important is to be a saint. Here we are, only 100 years from the time of the events of the patriarch and Charbel, and no one knows the name of the patriarch during his time, and so this is really amazing. And so we can forget very easily who the patriarch is, but we can't forget the saint, because he was the most popular saint in the whole Middle East, mm-hmm. not just in Lebanon. People you pray and honor Saint Charbel all over the Middle East, and now all over the world. So I thought it was a pretty good homily. And so the next day, that was Holy Thursday, mm-hmm. and I was having lunch with the Maronite monks at the Catholic University. And while I was there on Good Friday, one of the monks who was the postulator for St. Charbel's cause said to me, I hear you want to know who the patriarch was during the days of St. Charbel. I said, yeah. I asked the question and no one seemed to know. And he said, did you know that they died the same day? I said, I did not. The patriarch's name was Hanna Haj. And St. Charbel Makhlouf died that same day. There were 10,000 people at the patriarch's funeral at Bakirki. That was 100 years before. And there were 5 at the monks. And actually, the priest who was left behind, because all of the monks from the monastery went to the patriarch's funeral, they left this monk behind. And you'd have to know the word that was used for him, basit. Someone who's basit in Arabic is not just a simple priest, but he's like a simpleton. He was the one who really wasn't very smart. Mm. So that the mass for Saint Charbel was given to this priest, and they had the pallbearers bring his frozen body from his hermitage that was dead to bury him in the monastery cemetery. 50 years later, after his death, his tomb around his grave would light up at night. It would actually see lights coming from the tomb, and the people would be there, and they'd bring their babies that were sick. They'd bring their sick and suffering, and cures were being had. Tremendous graces were being poured out, and so they got permission to exhume his body, and it was incorrupt. Completely incorrupt after 50 years of being buried. and his sanctity, his holiness. He had been a hermit of years and years of prayer, of holiness. What a great saint he is, you know, today. I'm so glad we can honor him today. And I had Mass on his grave.
Mm.
I was there in Lebanon. And so that this great saint that isn't that amazing? 10,000 people. You know, how many people will come to your funeral? You know, and when you are holy, there's an eternity of life in front of you. When you are holy, which he was, he knew the value of life. And so today we have this Saint Christina that you tell me about. Mm-hmm. We have this example to us every day in the church. The text that's being used today at St. Charbel's, you know, the church teaches every day the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
And so the teaching of today is really a marvelous teaching from the scriptures. And it talks about God, the power of God. It's it's taken from the book of Exodus. Having set out from Elim, the whole Israelite community came into the desert of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departure from the land of Egypt. Here in the desert, the whole Israelite community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, "Would that we had died at the Lord's hands in the land of Egypt, as we sat by our flesh pots and ate our fill of bread. But you had to lead us out into this desert to make the whole community die of famine." And so they long for the flesh pots of Egypt. Many of our day, I think, they were similar. You know, we are spiritual Semites. And so now God is telling them through his mouthpiece and leader, Moses. Then Moses said to Aaron, "Tell the whole Israelite community, present yourselves before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling." When Aaron announced this to the whole Israelite community, they turned toward the desert, and lo, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. The Lord spoke to Moses and said, "I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them, in the evening twilight, you shall eat flesh, and in the morning you shall have your fill of bread, so that you may know that the Lord is your God. I am your God." In the evening, quail came upon and covered the camp. In the morning, a dew lay all about the camp, and when the dew evaporated, there on the surface of the desert were the flakes for like hearth frost on the ground. There was the manna, that God had sent them for their daily bread. When God is the center, he's going to take care of us. They asked one another, "Who is this?" For they did not know what it was. But Moses told them, "This is the bread which the Lord has given to you to eat." They were able to eat every day. He told them to take only food enough for the day. Now, when Jesus taught us his prayer, he taught us, "Give us this day our daily bread." What is that? That God wants us to rely on him. That each and every day, he wants to care for us. And so many, because we're always either thinking of tomorrow or yesterday and not really living in the moment, we have this same grumbling and interior anxiety and worries. If you're listening to me and you're Jewish, I don't want you to be a Christian. Not that I don't want you to be, but you don't have to be. Are you a good Jew? This God of Moses is God. And God provided for the Jews, the Israelites, when they were there in the desert. That community had a God-centered community. The Jews are the people of God. And in Israel today, is it a God-centered nation? Or you, as a Jew, are you a nominal Jew? The scriptures tell us that if you want to be truly a son of God, a child of God, you will depend on God. And the Israelites who depended on God were two children of God. And God fed them and cared for them. Will God care for Israel today? Will God care for the Jews? Absolutely. He loves them. Our world has really become self-reliant, self-centered, dependent on me. For the Israelites and for every nation, for America, for Canada, for Australia, for England, for Nigeria, for whatever country you may be from, we are a people who are dependent on God, a God-centeredness. And so especially those who are Christian. You know, this message that God is giving us that is being pronounced all over the world at Mass, our Holy Father in Brazil, what a magnificent opportunity for the youth of the world to hear through the Holy Father at Mass in Rio de Janeiro, or all over the world through Youth Day. Young people, who is the one on whom you are depending? When we depend on God, we are so powerful. And God provides for us each and every day. He wants to care for us. If our schools and universities are God-centered, they will produce again true learning. The university, it's the universe. There is, what is the center of the university? God. Theology and the God-centeredness, the truth, because of all reality, is to teach about God. When we eliminate God from our schools, our school is not religion, it's the truth. when we eliminate God, even more importantly, from our families, the family, once it becomes so that it isn't dependent, no matter what your religion may be, God is the center of your family, not you. Our secular world, in its nominal nod to religion, really doesn't depend in your family life for the father, for the mother, for the children, for the unity of that family. We can get to where we are with gay marriages. We can get to where we are with single parenting. We can get to where we are in whatever kind of family life that has taken place as the ordinary way by which we live in the world today, because God has ceased to be the center and the heart of families. Every family unit which maintains a God-centeredness will have the awareness that he wants to bring it together. God always unites. Individuals and self-reliance always divide. And that the divorce is really what takes place interiorly, long before it takes place with a piece of paper. Our court systems have failed now to our justice system. If it's not based on true morality, it's going to fail and it's going to fall apart. When I look at entertainment today, and if God doesn't get involved as the center of the entertainment world, then you get this production of the lewdness, the corruption. Our stars, our movie stars, are such examples over and over again what's happening. There are individuals who have maintained their God-centeredness, but in the industry itself, the kinds of production, what marvelous, beautiful creations it can be. But so often, you know, the star, the self-indulgence, and so the drugs and the deaths and the suicides, you know, the poor, tragic life of a Michael Jackson, the beautiful singers that wind up over-drugged and dying, Elvis Presley. We have these who have become so-called idols, and they blow up in self-destruction. And the magnificent gifts that they have were not used. Our entertainment world, and especially in sports, look at the scandals, the drug relationship and the kinds of things. When money and all this enhancement of self-centeredness takes over. And so in every form, you know, will God be the center of America or Canada or Australia or Indonesia or Europe or wherever? If there is the God-centeredness, then he will bring us into a new life, happiness, and that what he did for the Jews in the desert, he wants to do for each of us. I am your God. I have made you and I love you. I have created you. I have created you as my children. I have created you as nations. And I love you and I want to be with you. The gospel for today that is like almost a story of what's been happening to this magnificent word. It's a parable on the sower. And so as God speaks to us, listen to the word of God that comes to us from the 13th chapter of Matthew, beginning with the first verse. On that day, and that's today, the feast of Saint Charbel, entering into your heart, Jesus went out of the house and sat down by the sea. Such large crowds gathered around him. Then he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd stood along the shore, and he spoke to them at length in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell on a path, and birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, where it had little soil. It sprang up at once, because the soil was not deep. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and it withered for lack of roots. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew and choked it. But some seed fell on rich soil and produced fruit, 100, 60, or 30-fold. Whoever has ears, let them hear. Brothers and sisters and children, young people, in the youth who gathered with the Holy Father in Brazil, if you have ears to hear, listen and hear. Heed, pay attention, be attentive to what is being proclaimed here. It is the word of God that you're listening to. And when that enters into your heart, it will grow. Each day, God wants to take care of you. God is the center of the universe. The universe is a universe because he made it one. He is the world's creator. He is the world's source of life and love. And to neglect God is to neglect life, to choose other than that. Now, when you hear it, what kind of ground are you? What kind of fruit would you produce? Hopefully, if you're listening to this, you know, you, and even there, you have a potential. So do I. You know, am I a 30% product of that God-centeredness? I actually then can grow. Am I a 60? Who of us is 100%? God actually wants each of us to fulfill the fullest of love that we can. Only in God is my soul at rest. He alone is my Savior. When you have someone like Saint Charbel today, to give us that example, he had been the treasurer of his community. And the cares and the interests of his order, and he was a good monk, and he belonged to the Maronite monks, but he saw that he was being distracted from God. And so he put it all aside and lived for 27 years as a hermit, prayed and offered his life. Some people will say, what a waste. And yet, look at all the good he did. The day he died was the day he began that new life in all eternity. And so now he was canonized in 1978, and that's when the world began to recognize that this world is so passing. And I think that story that you tell about St. Christina, Chris, is a magnificent one.
Well, we have lost, haven't we, Monsignor, a bit of the sense of the communion of the saints. I mean, we talk about them as though we talk about their past lives and what they did, but how often do we talk about what they're doing today? And not just a handful of them, but all of them.
The saint is current, and he's as current as the now. And I experience the presence of these two saints with us right now as they begin to assist us in hearing the word of God and plowing our souls for a deeper seedling of that word in each of us, so that in our time and in our day, they lived in the 13th century for St. Christina, mm-hmm. in the 19th century for St. Charbel, and we are in the 21st. But what they're connected to us, and eventually when we pass on, and we are going to be people who are here, and people of the 22nd century are here on this little globe for us, they're going to experience our presence with them. And so until then, we are being currently influenced by these magnificent saints. Yes.
Yeah,
they're as current as now.
And, you know, I think sometimes we focus on, we look at some of the events either surrounding their lifetime, extraordinary occurrences, or the extraordinary occurrences after their passing, and yet those extraordinary are actually ordinary things if we just have the faith to be open to see.
Well, I'm here at Creighton University, and there are men here who have been here for 30 days, mm-hmm. and they're priests and seminarians, in silence, in contemplation, and in prayer. They speak to no one except me. They're in complete silence for 30 days. You know, when a modern man, and these are modern men, enter into solitude and silence for 30 days, Charbel did it for 27 years. But is there a man out there who could be listening to this, who could be called to a life of prayer and a life to dedicate yourself totally to God? When Jesus said in today's gospel, some will produce 100-fold. Are you that one that can do that? And do you hear that? And is St. Charbel and the Holy Spirit encouraging you to go for it? You might even be considering it. And that the Holy Spirit knows the invitation he may be giving you to go 100% for God and to do it for the next 27 years or whatever it is from now until eternity.
Final thoughts, Monsignor?
We are each being called today by God to depend on him. No one but God. Only God. You are the only God. When God said to the Jews in the desert, I am the Lord your God. I will care for you. I love you. You are mine. You are mine, and I am your God. You are my people. That same God, as the final thought today, is saying that to you. He's saying it to you as an individual. He's saying to you as a family. He's saying it to you in your business or in your university. He's saying it to you in your country. He is God. I am the God of the universe. I am the God of the Jews.